Proverbs chapter 8, I would like you to notice the text this morning, verses 8 and 9. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. We have been looking at the book of wisdom in the Bible, the book of Proverbs, on the subject of speech. 2 weeks on destructive speech, and now we want to come to constructive speech. We get to the positive after having dealt with the negative. Much is in the Proverbs about speech, about 130 references to it, and about half of them refer to negative patterns of speech, but we have many as well on positive speech. So we want to begin those today. I'd like you to hold a finger here and turn over to the New Testament, to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, as we introduce the subject of constructive speech. Do your words, do my words destroy, or do they build? Do they build up and encourage, or do they tear down and destroy? Notice what the book of Colossians has to say about what kind of speech we should have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 4, and notice verse 5. Colossians 4 and verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, that is, outside the body of believers, outside the faith, redeeming the time. Notice verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. What a description of constructive speech, with grace and seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. May God give us a heart's desire to have gracious speech, seasoned speech, that we may have an answer to give those who ask us about our faith in Christ, that we may have an answer for those wanting help or hope along the way. Let's ask the Lord to give us understanding. Father, open our hearts and minds to your word. Have your way in our hearts. Have your own way and will in our being. And Lord, we pray for this matter of speech, that you would teach us the proper godly speech that is shown us in the Word of God. Bless us in this time, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at the first category of positive speech, constructive speech in the book of Proverbs, and it's chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1. And here we have warning speech. Well, how is that positive? That sounds negative. No, we need often to be warned and even rebuked. We have, I think, three times in Proverbs the personification of wisdom. The song of the month that Brother Brian had chosen had to do with wisdom and her call, wisdom speaking. So wisdom is treated as a person here in the book of Proverbs, and this is one of those occasions. Proverbs chapter 1, notice verse 20, and it says here, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. So here is wisdom calling outside, calling publicly, inviting people to come and to listen. Notice in verse 21, she cries out in the chief concourses at the opening of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my reproof. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. So here is wisdom warning and rebuking. Don't continue in foolishness and being simple. No, turn and listen to my rebuke. Pay attention to what I say. Notice verse 25. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. So here is warning speech that comes from the lips of Lady Wisdom, we could say, or from this personification of wisdom, saying, listen to me, turn and pay attention. I'm warning you, the consequences are not good if you turn from me. In these personifications of wisdom, we could, in most places, replace it with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we fail, if we resist his wisdom, we turn against him, there will be consequences. Notice in verse 26, wisdom says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as the only solution for the sin problem will one day face condemnation because they rejected him and turned away from him. Wisdom calls out to us with warning and tells us, invites us to listen and to obey what she says. Look in Proverbs chapter 28, Proverbs chapter 28 in verse 23. Proverbs 28, verse 23. Here is also speech, rebuking speech. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. Is there a time to rebuke someone? Yes. Is there a time to warn someone? Yes. Why? To be mean? No. And not to be said in a mean or an unkind way, but in a constructive way, wanting a change, a different outcome, or to mold character. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. What does a child need? Instruction, warning, rebuke, yes, but in the context of love, so that character can be developed and can be changed. I remembered this morning in youth days, I was elected a leader in our youth group that we had. We had the MYF, the Missionary Youth Fellowship, and there was an event that was planned for the youth, and it was a big event. I did not show up. I did a good thing. I was at another church, and I didn't show up, and as a leader, I should have been there. I still remember to this day a pastor that had such an impact on my life and the youth leader taking me aside and counseling me on my responsibilities. I appreciate that they cared for me and took me aside and said, you need to be responsible. You need to be here when we have activities. That was good advice. That was warning and rebuking speech, and it was necessary. We need that to shape and mold our character. It's an unloving thing to do, to not rebuke or not to warn when it is needed, and yet we shy away from it. But remember the warning in Galatians chapter 6. Someone is overtaken in a fault. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of what? Meekness, gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We don't come on like gangbusters, like a bulldozer. We come on gently to warn and rebuke because our goal is out of love to see a change of behavior, to form character, and even to point people to Christ. Let's put it in the context of evangelism. You have an unsaved mother, father, aunt, uncle, cousin, brother, sister. Is it a loving thing to tell them the gospel and that to warn them that there is the penalty of eternal separation from God for those who persist in their sin and will not trust in Christ? That is not a hateful thing to do. That is a loving thing to do and often very difficult for those near to us, but it is needed. Warning and rebuking speech. This is constructive. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. We see another category here. And this is God's speech, God giving us wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2. And here is divine speech. The Lord
gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now let's back up to chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words, treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The Lord gives wisdom. God is the source. Here is divine speech. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Divine speech. God's speech is a pattern for our speech, for our godly speech. His speech is certainly distinctive. Where is God's speech? It's right here in the Bible. It's in 66 books of the Holy Bible, the Old and New Testament. Here we have divine speech. We have God's viewpoint. We have his wisdom. Listen to this. We desperately need God's wisdom in 2015. The founts of foolishness continually gush forth with the wisdom of the world. We need the wisdom of God. And where do you find it? Here in the Word of God. We need to be bold and clear in speaking the truth of God, the wisdom of God. I want you to notice some passages. Go over to the book of James in the New Testament. The book of James. And notice here James chapter 3. And notice the contrast in wisdom. James chapter 3. And start with verse 13. James 3, 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. James 3, 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish, or demonic. Imagine that. There is a kind of wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be done. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What a tremendous contrast. There's wisdom from above and there's wisdom from below. Earthly, sensual, devilish. And let me say, our society is being filled with wisdom from below. And it's earthly, it's sensual, and it's inspired by the devil. It's demonic. We need God's wisdom today on every subject imaginable. Go to the book of Job now, two books before Proverbs. The book of Job in chapter 28. It is commonly thought that Job lived in the time of the patriarchs, that he may have been a contemporary of Abraham. So this would put us at about 1900 or 2000 years before Jesus. And Job has tremendous insight and wisdom here as he was tested and he came to know God even more through his testing. Look at what Job says in chapter 28. Job chapter 28 and verse 12. He asks a question and then he gives some possible answers. Job 28, 12. Where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me. And the sea says, it's not with me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Verse 20, from where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. God understands its way. He knows its place, for he looks to the ends of the earth. He sees under the whole heavens to establish a weight for the wind and mete out the waters by measure, when he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt. Then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it indeed. He searched it out, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. What a tremendous passage in Job. Where is wisdom to be found? God has it. God has wisdom. Verse 23, God understands its way. And then his divine speech says to us, you want wisdom? It's the fear of the Lord. There is wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding. You see how our society more and more is becoming foolish, disregarding the wisdom of God? So what should the Church of Jesus Christ do? Know God's wisdom, know divine speech, and repeat it. Say what God says, and give the truth, and let the truth be known. Now, one more passage is just amazing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Think of what we have in salvation. Think of what we have in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and Paul speaks of preaching in a way, not of the wisdom of men, but with the power of God. And look at what he says in verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us, what? Wisdom. Praise the Lord. Wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. In Christ, what do we have? We have wisdom. Jesus Christ is to us wisdom and righteousness and holiness, and we have been purchased in him. Let us get familiar with divine speech, God's truth, God's wisdom. Christ dwells in us, and he wants to teach us his wisdom. He wants to teach us his word. And what a difference it can make when someone in the room is in touch with the wisdom of God. Have you ever been in a situation like this? Maybe there was a problem at work, and the boss is saying, well, what do you all think? And everybody talks, and the one that's always quick to open their mouth and speak, they say something. And then there's one that the boss has confidence in, who has been silent the whole time. And he says, well, Sue or Joe, what do you think? And he knows that something good is going to be said, because he has confidence in what they've said. May we be those who have confidence in the Word of God, and we know that Jesus is in our lives, and that we can be trusted to say something wise because it's based on God's eternal and absolute truth. Divine speech desperately needed. Now we go to a third category of speech, instructive speech. Throughout the Proverbs, there's a wonderful formula. I just love this formula. It's two words, my son. Over and over, you see it through Proverbs. My son, my son, my son. So here is a father speaking to his son. Here is a father speaking to his children. Here is instructive speech. Look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. What does the father say to his son? Look at verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. A father to a son issues a model for teaching, speech that imparts wise words. And then we also see a mother to her son later in Proverbs. Notice the generational truth here. A father speaks to his son, teaches him, instructs him in the ways of the Lord. And then that son becomes a father and he instructs his children. Spiritually speaking, we are here today because wise fathers passed on the truth of the gospel, and their sons and daughters passed on the truth of the gospel, and they passed on the truth of the gospel. This is the Timothy principle, or we could perhaps call it the Solomon principle here from Proverbs. Truth passed on from one generation to the next. You know what it takes for the next generation to have no truth? One generation to cut the truth off and not to speak it. That's all it takes. One generation to be silent, to say nothing about the gospel, to say nothing about the scriptures, to say nothing about the ways of God. There is so much confusion today. Let me pick one subject. On the subject of marriage, the next generation is going to be so scrambled in their thinking because of all the input from all the secular sources. Where can you get God's instruction here? And so what should we do in the midst of being bombarded with all these false ideas on marriage? What should we do? How about this? We just sit back and enjoy the truth? And the next generation won't have it. They won't have the truth. They won't know. We can't do that. We open our mouths and we instruct the truth. My son, hear the father's instruction and then teach it to your children. And on we go. That is our job, and that's the job of the local church, to pass on the baton of truth to the next generation. Our heart's cry should be that our children will be present in this church if Jesus tarries, that they will be here in this church, active disciples, and not lost to the ways of the world. You know, it's hurtful when on the streets we meet people, we say from East End Baptist Church, and they say this, I used to go there. I was baptized there. Well, I hope that you're going somewhere, but those that aren't are going nowhere. May we pass on the wisdom of God. May we show them what God says on all the subjects that are in the Bible, the whole counsel of God. Look at chapter 12 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is brutish. You know what that means? It means what this translation says. What? That's right. I thought that wasn't nice to say. It says it right here in the Word of God. He who hates reproof is stupid. That's what it says. Brutish. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. Here is instructive speech. Now look at Proverbs chapter 31. Not only do we have the counsel from fathers to sons, but look at Proverbs 31 and verse 1. Here is instructive speech. Proverbs 31:1. The words of King Lemuel. Now, we don't know exactly who this is. Maybe it's another title for Solomon. Many of the Proverbs were written by King Solomon. Maybe this is another name for him, or it may be someone else. But here's what I want you to see. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Praise the Lord for the wisdom of fathers and the wisdom of mothers passed on to the next generation. You don't know what king may be in your house or what queen. Faithfully, moms and dads, teach the Word of God. Faithfully share the truth of Scripture. in your life, the way you live, and in your lips, instruct them and bring them to church to reinforce that teaching and to expand on it. I love this. Instructive speech from a father to son, from mother to son, and to children. I am so thankful for godly instruction received at the knees, as it were, at the lips of my mother. I am so thankful for that. I'm thankful for the godly instruction and encouragement from father figures that God brought into my life. We're such a blessing. Instructive speech. We need to teach with life and with lip. Go back to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. And we come to the fourth category of constructive speech. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 1. And here we have knowledgeable speech. What is honorable for children or for anyone is to speak with information and knowledge. Proverbs 5:1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and that your lips may keep knowledge. That your lips may have knowledge. Listen to me, son, so that you can speak in a knowledgeable way. So that you can avoid the pitfalls of immorality. Listen to biblical truth, biblical knowledge. Knowledgeable speech. Look at chapter 15 of Proverbs. Chapter 15 in verse 7. Proverbs 15:7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. Now, this is interesting. We have two parts of the human anatomy here, lips and heart. And the second line in the verse seems to contrast the first line. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. Does it mean that the fool doesn't speak? No, I think it's showing what's behind the speech. So the fool has no wisdom, no knowledge in his heart, so his lips don't have that. Does it mean that the lips of the wise then have nothing in their heart? No, I think it means that they have knowledge in their heart and their lips express that. So here is knowledgeable speech that comes from the heart. How can we have that as believers? Hiding the Word of God in our hearts. A plan for memorizing Scripture is very important. There is nothing that takes the place of this Christian discipline, the memorization of Scripture. It is much easier when you're younger, but it is possible when you're older. And we should continually come back to this discipline of working on putting into our hearts and minds the truth of Scripture. What a blessed thing if we as a church, if we and our families can instruct our kids to memorize Scripture, to know the truth of Scripture. It seems this is a discipline that is easily neglected. I confess it myself, and I come back to it. The Lord brings me back to it. Knowledgeable speech comes from having something in your heart. It says here, the heart of the fools, they don't have anything. They haven't put anything there. And so there's nothing that comes forth from their lips that's beneficial. Look at chapter 16, verse 23. Chapter 16 and verse 23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. Put something in your heart, then your mouth has something to say. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Chapter 20, verse 15. Chapter 20, verse 15. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. The lips of knowledge. Knowledgeable speech, very important. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 for the next category. Proverbs chapter 8, and this is a second occasion where we have wisdom personified. Wisdom speaking as if being a person. Chapter 8, verse 1. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill. beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Wisdom is here personified. Notice verse 6. Let's just keep reading. Verse 5. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen. There's great encouragement in verse 5. There are times when all of us have been or are foolish. Here's great news. We don't have to stay that way. And this verse shows me this. Oh, you fools, be of an understanding heart. Verse 6, listen, for I will speak of excellent things. And from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Notice these three words. Excellent things, right things, and truth. Here is excellent speech. It's right and it's true, and look what it despises. For my mouth will speak truth. Verse 7, wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. We have wickedness, crookedness, perversity. And wisdom says those are an abomination to me. I speak excellent speech. Wisdom personified speaks of excellent, or as one version has, noble and right things. This is the kind of speech we should have. Excellent speech. It's noble. It is elevated. There's a New Testament counterpart to this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4, 8. Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, think, ponder on these things. Philippians 4, 8 is a checklist of things that we should think about, that we should ponder, things that are excellent, that indeed have a good report, that are virtuous. When we ponder those things in our heart, then our lips can speak excellent things. I had a little date with my wife, and we were just at a McDonald's having a coffee and a Coke and enjoying a visit there, and we heard this raucous speech. It was around the corner. And somebody stepped in line in front of someone. I'm not sure. Whatever happened, this person just went off. Someone hit the wrong button, and it was horrible what we heard. And my wife got up to see what was happening. I said, "No, come back," you know. And pretty soon, some angry people went out the door. I think the victim, or maybe the one who stepped in front. And then another lady came down the area going to the restrooms, and she said, "I'm sorry about my friend." She was apologizing for this other lady's speech. Well, it was really against her. It wasn't against us, except it was slightly bothersome to have that in an otherwise quiet moment. It was not excellent speech, I can tell you that. It is everywhere around us. Horrific, God-dishonoring, impure, ungodly speech is the opposite of speech with virtue, with purity, with loveliness. And as I mentioned before, the media is filled with this. There used to be some regulation on filthy speech on the airways, on television, and radio, but now it seems like the limits are so very low. May we be on guard, and may we be people who speak excellent things, right things, true things, godly things. How do we know the difference? Does speech encourage me to live a godly life, or does it discourage me and lead me to think sinful thoughts? That's the difference between excellent speech and speech that is less than excellent. Now let's go to another one. Proverbs chapter 8. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17. This is the category of true speech. True speech. There's excellent speech and then there is true speech. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 17. Proverbs 12, 17. And also verse 19. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 17. Notice what we find here. 12:17. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Verse 19. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Chapter 22, verse 21. Chapter 22, verse 21. Thank you for having nimble fingers and ready hearts to look up these verses. Proverbs 22, verse 21. That I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth. I want you to know words of truth and the certainty of words of truth. So throughout Proverbs, we see an emphasis on speech that is true, as opposed to that which is wicked, that is not in conformity with reality. True speech, desperately needed today. Now go back to chapter 16 and verse 10. The next category is righteous speech. It's also in Proverbs 8:8. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. A fascinating truth here in chapter 16, verse 10. Proverbs 16, verse 10. Even though divination is on the lips of the king, his mouth must not transgress in judgment. Righteous speech is speech that does not transgress. And he's saying it's not proper for one in authority to transgress, to go against what is true, to deceive, to make a judgment that is wrong. Look at chapter 16 and verse 13. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. It is so common to lie in our culture. Determine that you will speak the truth. You're called on the carpet before your boss. Speak the truth, even if it hurts. Speak the truth, and you know what will happen? Your level of trust will go up in his mind. Every leader appreciates those who have righteous speech. Righteous lips are the delight of kings. They love him who speaks what is true. In the military, they have performance reports called OPRs or EPRs, Officer Performance Report or Enlisted Performance Report. And I heard a man one time teaching on how to prepare these, say something that is so important is what's on the back, the signature that is there, and whether that person is a trustworthy person. I thought that was a very interesting insight. And as boards look at these things and they look and see who signed this, is this someone with a good reputation and a reputation for truth? Let us be those who have a reputation for righteous speech, for speech that conforms to reality, and God blesses that when we are in authority or have or are under authority. Look at chapter 23, verse 16. Proverbs 23 and verse 16. Yes, all right, let me go to 15. 23, verse 15. My son, if your heart is wise, there's the my son formula again. Proverbs 23:15, my son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Kids, listen to me. Your mom and dad said, where were you? Tell them where you were. Not just the last place that you were and the three places before that that you don't want them to know about. No. Tell them, and you will rejoice their heart when your lips speak right things. Just own up. And for any of us, we mess up, let's just own up to it. Proverbs 24 and verse 26. He who gives a right answer kisses the lips. What a picture. Proverbs 24, 26. Give a right answer like a kiss on the lips. Chapter 31, verses 8 and 9. Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Here is instruction from the mother of King Lemuel. Here is great instruction. Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth. So here is the mother speaking to the king saying, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Righteous speech, a righteous cause. Great advice from King Lemuel's mother. Now let me hasten on the last two. Life-giving speech. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11. Proverbs 10, 11. We've said before the power of our speech. And here we have such potential in what we say. There's powerful potential for death or for life. Proverbs 10, 11. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. Do I want my speech to be a blessing to others, to feed the hungry, as it were, spiritually hungry? Look at verse 11. Do I want my words to be a well of life? That's what we want, isn't it? Encouraging words. When I hear a parent put down their child or call them names, that is the opposite of life-giving speech. If you call a child a dummy, you stupid head, you can't do this, what are they going to think as they grow up? They're going to live out just what you have said, what we have said. Instead, you can do this. I know you can do this. I have confidence in you. I am encouraging you. I want to give life to you. Yes, there's a time to correct, but in a loving way. There's a time to discipline, but in a loving way. Let us have lips that feed instead of starve. Now look at some other references on life-giving speech. Proverbs 12, 14. Proverbs 12, 14. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Look at Proverbs 12, 18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health, healing, and blessing and satisfaction from words. That is powerful. Chapter 13, verse 2. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. Look at chapter 18. Chapter 18. I encourage you to look up the other verses, but I want to see this one. Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. What we say has an impact on our work. It gives us the ability to make a living and enables us then to buy food to make so that we can eat. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Now look at the next verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Today, you can be a blessing, a life-giving blessing to someone else if you will speak life-giving, beneficial speech to encourage, to build up, to find some way to bless someone. All of these constructive categories could be fit under this one, the last one, wise speech. Chapter 10, verse 13. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Chapter 10, verse 31. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. And multiple other references here in Proverbs to wise speech. An understanding person will have speech that is wise, that demonstrates God's eternal wisdom. So what a pattern for us from the book of Proverbs. What kind of speech should we have? We should listen to warning and rebuking speech and know when to give that. We should be committed to God's divine speech as shown in His Word. We should be those who listen to and give instructive speech that is based on knowledgeable speech and excellent speech and true speech and righteous speech. All of this should be in the mouth of the people of God. And life-giving speech and wise speech. Now let me draw two applications here for all of this to make a difference in our lives. First of all, we may speak the way we were spoken to. And if we grew up with negative, destructive, critical speech being always given to us, maybe we were called that stupid head, that dummy, that whatever, and we were put down. It's so common. It happens all the time. And then we begin to speak to others like that. But we come to Christ. Jesus makes a difference. He wants us to get rid of that kind of speech and see then the life-giving speech that we should have. So we need to purpose in our hearts to speak in a way that builds up, that encourages, that blesses. I distinctly remember as a young man having a visit from two leaders to the church. From the church, they came to my mother's house and they were paying a visit. I remember this insinuation that one of those leaders had before they left the house. There was some negative comment about some things at the church, and then this speech, this word. Well, does it have to do with the pulpit ministry? Very subtle, but it was an undermining of the pastor there. It's so easy, and I'm not saying this because there's been any, I'm not aware of anything like that. I'm not saying it for that reason. It illustrates it's so easy just in a sentence to undermine someone else. And if we are just accustomed to criticizing and being critical and being mean because that's the way we were treated, let us purpose, Lord, I want to speak in a way that builds up, that encourages, and that blesses. I remember a building committee meeting one time when we were literally under construction and men were over at the site building the church building. And we were part of this meeting. And one man opened the meeting with, well, we have a problem here. We got people who are going to leave the church. And everybody was deflated. What do you say after that? We're in the middle of a building program. And then one brother, who was such a tremendous blessing, he said, well, I don't know who these people are. They don't come to me with their complaint. They must be going to you because you listen to them. You gather the complaints or something like that. He just nailed it. It wasn't mean. He was just speaking the truth. He said, no one's complained to me about this. I don't hear this. And then there was some life given back. You see the contrast? Death words and life words. It's easy to give death words. And if you've never done that, praise the Lord. We all, well, most of us, have been guilty of death words at times, of saying things that have killed people's enthusiasm and their desire. Let's purpose to build up, encourage, and bless. And yes, when instruction and rebuke is needed to give that, but let's give life words. A second application I want to make about speech. What is one of the very best things we could do with our lips and our tongues? Evangelize. Announce the good news of the gospel. Evangelize. Let's announce the good news for people far and near to hear. Excellent speech that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's great speech, but how are they going to know? Someone needs to say it. Now, I want to close with this verse, 1 Peter chapter 3. Will you turn there? Know this verse, 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter was written in a context of persecution, where Christians were being persecuted. They were being maligned. Notice what he says here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. this was quite amazing that, and this was in the providence of God. Our opening scripture today was from Psalm 34. Peter quotes from Psalm 34 in verse 10. Psalm 34, verse 10. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. The scripture we began the service with, it was quoted here in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 3, said, you love life, see good days, then refrain from evil and guile with your tongue. But this is the verse I want you to see. Now this, and remember, people under persecution, suffering for their faith. Peter says, don't use your tongue as a weapon for evil. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready to give a defense for the Christian faith. Be ready to give a defense for your faith in Jesus Christ. Be ready to use your tongue, not for guile, not for evil, but to speak forth the truth of the gospel. To give a reason for the hope that is in us. A reason for the hope that we have because we have trusted Jesus. And Jesus is in our heart. He has saved us. Be ready to speak the name of Jesus in a saving context, even in the midst of an environment of persecution. That's the kind of speech we should have. And all of that is borne out in the book of Proverbs. Be ready to speak the word of God, the truth of God, the name of Jesus, because we have hope. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of Scripture. And Lord, I just pray you'll put it on our hearts to purpose, to decide that we will have speech that builds up, that edifies. It's not critical and that demolishes. Lord, I pray that wives will build up their husbands. Husbands will build up their wives. I pray that parents will build up children. That children will build up their parents. I pray that in the body of believers right here at East End Baptist Church, that we will dwell together in love and unity and build each other up with encouragement. And Lord, when those times when we need to be instructed, we need to be rebuked or warned, give us grace and humility and love to be able to do that. Show us, Lord, how to speak. And Lord, I pray that our lips will be used to speak the gospel, to give an answer for the hope that's within us with meekness and fear. If there's anyone here, Lord, that has not yet trusted in Christ, I pray this very day they would call in the name of the Lord and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.